You are listening to Once a Raider, Always a Raider on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Jerry Knapp.
Hello once again, Raider Nation. Welcome to Once a Raider, Always a Raider. I am your host, Jerry Knack, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Combine this week. There's an interesting story that we came across this offseason, and I wanted to give you the background behind it and also share an interview with you that I did just prior to the 2018 NFL Scouting Combine. The Combine has become must-see TV the last 14 years or so, since the NFL Network started airing live coverage of it from Indianapolis when NFL Network became a thing. Prior to that, you really didn't know what the process was. You didn't know who ran what, who bench-pressed what. You had no idea. The scouts got all the information, but the general public had no idea what went into selecting draft choices. So in 2004, when the NFL Network came into existence, they started airing coverage of the Combine. And probably the sexiest event, or at least the most talked about event, is the 40-yard dash. And in recent years, some blistering times have been set at Lucas Oil Stadium, and prior to that at the RCA Dome in Indianapolis. The Combine became a thing in 1985. That was the first year of the Combine as we know it today. And then in 1986, it was held in New Orleans. Now, most of the Raider Nation knows that Bo Jackson was a seventh-round draft pick of the then Los Angeles Raiders in 1987. He played baseball and football at Auburn. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. But in 86, he decided he did not want to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and ends up going back in the draft. And the Raiders famously draft him in 87. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what led up to 1986 and his draft status. So, an interview with Bo ran on ESPN.com earlier this year, and in it, Bo talks about a 40-yard dash he ran prior to the NFL draft, and that he ran a 4.13. Now, that sounds absolutely ridiculously fast. So, I was asked to hunt this down and verify it, corroborate it, find out what happened. And I started making phone call after phone call after phone call, as you would do when you're researching something. I talked to former and legendary Auburn head coach Pat Dye. I talked to the Auburn SID office. I talked to a lot of folks. And then I finally picked up the phone and called Bo Jackson himself. So the story goes that Jackson ran a 4.12. Numerous articles were written that Jackson ran a 4.12 at the NFL Scouting Combine in New Orleans. There's one problem with that. Bo Jackson did not attend the Scouting Combine. He attended what basically we would call today a regional pro day, right? A lot of guys don't get invited to the Combine in Indianapolis, so they have these regional pro days. It's like a local combine, numerous schools get to participate, or players from other schools. And that's what happened with Bo Jackson here. A lot of scouts came to Auburn. Bo told me that there were a lot of kids from other schools that were able to participate. So according to Bo, the official time, electronically timed, was a 4.13. I spoke to Ron Wolf, and Ron remembers it as a 4.16 hand timed. But I would do a disservice if I continued to blather on about this story. It's one of the more intriguing pre-draft stories. So just for a little background here, in 2017, John Ross, a wide receiver out of Washington, who's now with the Cincinnati Bengals, he broke East Carolina running back Chris Johnson's scouting combine 40-yard dash record. Johnson had a 4.24 in 2008, where John Ross had a 4.22. This all broke the standing record of Deion Sanders' 4.27 in 1989. Now, let's just say Ron Wolf's account is accurate. 4.16 is a ridiculously fast time and would be considered the fastest pre-draft 40-yard dash ever recorded. But Bo insists it's a 4.13 electronically timed. So, without further ado, let's hear from the man himself, because Bo knows 40-yard dashes.
It was my job to chase Harvey Glantz, who was a 76 gold medal. He was the world's fastest human in 1976, but he was one of the assistant track coaches. So I had to chase him around the track, and I wasn't looking forward to it. So the coaches asked me, said, "Bo, we have a bunch of pro scouts here, and it's 40-yard dash time," and they had a little combine, and they had other kids there from other colleges running and so forth and so on. And why don't you come in and run a 40 for them? Because they really came here in hopes to get you to run a 40. And well, I'm on my way to track practice, and I'll be running for the next 2 hours, and I don't want to. So he said, just come in, just appease these people, just come in and run 140 for them. I said, all right, I'll run 140. And my first 40 that I got down the ramp, because knowing that I only had a short distance to stop, let's say I ran about 35 yards and broke it down for the next 5 yards and broke the tape, and I ran like a 4.3. And they say, you stopped. But you just pulled up at 35 yards and coasted through. I say, yeah, because the distance, I don't have any place to stop back here. And I'm not going to pull a hamstring to stop in that distance. So they said, look, what if we open the back door? My coach come up to me and said, look, give these guys what they want. Run through the tape. Run through the tape and go on out the door. You don't even got to stop. Just take your ass on the track practice. But run through the finish line this time. So I said, all right. Got back down there, and I got my guy who I was going to track practice with. I said, take my bag and just meet me down there. I said, just going to go, because once I go through here, I'm just going to keep on going to the track. And I went back down. I waited about 5 minutes to get my breath, and because they had other people running. And this was before they had – this was before – and everybody had their stopwatches and so forth and so on. And I got down there, and I took off. Everybody hit their watch. And I ran completely through. Let's say I ran as if I was going to run 50 yards. So when I crossed the finish line, I'm still motoring. And I just kept going right out the door and didn't even come back. And my coach said, all of the coaches hit their stopwatches. And nobody said nothing. And somebody finally said, tell me what you got. Now, tell me what you got. And one guy said, I got 4.00. What did you get? The guy said, fuck, I got him at 3.09. And somebody said, what did you get? I got him at 4.00. What did you get? I got him at 4.00. And then they asked the guy that was running the electronic timer. Then they said, well, the big guy don't lie. Let me see what he got. And the guy said, there it is, boys. Go out and catch him if you can. It was 4.13.
Now, the actual combine started in 1985, and the second...
Which I did not go, because I was already picked to be the first person to go in the draft. So if you're going to be the first person to go in the draft, why should you go to a combine and do all of that? You see what I'm saying? saying?
I sure
do. So back then, it wasn't anything. It wasn't built up like it is now. Now it's a TV production. It's a whole show.
Sure.
They got
it
the lights and everything. But back then, you just went in a place like where we were just running and do the combine. And then word came out, and then somebody would send out a memo saying, this is what everybody ran in the combo. So there was no video, there was no nothing, and so forth and so on. So I'm like, if I'm going to be the first, I'm touted to be the Tampa Bay is already talking about they are going to pick me first. Tampa Bay is already saying that they're going to pick me first. I just won the Heisman Trophy. Why the hell do I got to go down to impress them? What else can I do to impress somebody?
Right.
So that's how that was.
You're going to track practice, but baseball was going on right around that same time, too. What was that?
Well, yes, but 1 year, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if baseball season has started or what. But this was right after football season. So baseball season hadn't started yet. And down there, it wasn't that cold during the winter.
Right.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? So, but we still had track practice. And the way you get ready for what I was consumed, because I never had to go, I never had to do, I don't know how I did that, but I was on my way to track practice when I ran that 4.13. I was on my, and I don't know if I was already declared ineligible to play baseball because I took the trip. No, it wasn't that. So it was before I took the trip. So it was right after football season started because we had like a week or two of track practice, and you can't go out on the baseball field when it's too cool outside. But it was my job to go out and chase Harvey Glantz. I do remember that I was on my way to track practice. And if I'm not mistaken, there were some years when I played baseball during the spring. Then I ran track during the spring. The next year, baseball track. So that's how that was.
Was it outdoor or indoor track?
Both, really. Both. Indoor track and outdoor track. And as far as indoor track, the two, if I'm not mistaken, the indoor 60 was, I don't know if it's still whole, I don't know if it's still there, but the record in the 60 is held by, if I'm not mistaken, Stanley Floyd, who was Harvey Glantz's teammate at the time, and Bo Jackson, which is like a 5.96 in the 60.
Jeez. You guys could run a little bit.
Well, I got my speed from being a young kid running from ass whipping. So I became a professional runner.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of research about, you know, the history of the combine, how it got started, where it started.
Yep. And oh yeah, because back when I was coming up, compared to what we did combine cave, compared to what they do now, it's all lights and cameras, and they make a whole TV show out of it, and somebody's getting rich off of putting on a combine show.
Well, it's all on NFL Network now. That's and yeah. they have an exclusive. So.
Yeah. That's how it is. That's how it is. So back when I did it, they just went to different parts of the country and set up a thing to get people to do it just in case folks couldn't make that combine when they had it and so forth and so on.
So it was basically like an expanded pro day that, you know, other schools and other folks could come.
Yeah.
Did you do anything in 87? In the spring of 87?
No, because I was playing baseball, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. So when the Raiders took you in the seventh round of the 87 draft, you did not do any testing or timing or anything leading up to that?
No. I left the Kansas City Royals when the season was over. I took a week off, went back to Auburn and fished for a week. Then the next week, I left to go to L.A. I got there on Monday and played on Sunday.
Bo obviously has vivid memories of what happened leading up to the 1986 draft, the combine that he ran. What I find interesting was, even at this pro day at Auburn, he runs right out the door. And Raider Nation will remember in 1987 against the Seattle Seahawks on a 90-plus yard run, he runs up the tunnel and keeps on running. So this becomes a recurring theme for Bo Jackson. Bo didn't attend the 86 combine because he felt he didn't need to. He was going to be the number one pick in the draft of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So he decides he's not going to attend that event. Instead, he is cajoled and convinced to run on the track at Auburn as he is on his way to track practice. So the legend lives on. So we'll give John Ross a 4.22 scouting combine record. But as far as I'm concerned, as far as Bo Jackson's concerned, I think we'll say that Bo Jackson ran the fastest ever pre-draft 40-yard dash, at least ever recorded. And we'll go with that 4.13 until there's a definitive record, some kind of piece of paper, some document that comes forward that disputes that. But we'll go with Bo Jackson's 4.13. The man was ridiculously fast, and unfortunately his career was cut short because of the hip injury in 1990 against the Cincinnati Bengals in the divisional playoffs. But we'll always remember Bo for his unique size, speed, and power combination, and I can only imagine what he would have done if he had played just football and not split time between the gridiron and the baseball diamond. I had the pleasure of watching Bo Jackson play, you know, albeit on television. And I don't think there's ever been anyone like him on the football field. So until next time, this is going to do it for this edition of Once a Raider, Always a Raider. I have been Jerry Knack, and we'll talk to you next time. And go Raiders.
Thank you for listening to Once a Raider, Always a Raider on the official Raiders Podcast Network.